in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Partnership in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you this morning. We ask you to bless your word, God. Speak to every heart here today. God, we're careful to acknowledge you and give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We worship you today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, before you sit down, turn around to two people, give them a high five, and tell them partnership. We're coming to the end of the year, right? We're already seeing the signs of winter, little flurries on the ground. Come on, somebody. It's getting a little cold. The air is getting brisk. Come on. And in just a couple short months, we're going to be sending out our church, our multi-regional church plant, to Jacksonville, Florida. Come on, somebody. Right? And we're preparing a team. We already have two licensed ministers that are going to be going and being a part of that team. And then we have different churches that have already prepared and committed to sending people. And all of our region, every church is going to be involved in this church plant. But not only our region, the Great Lakes, but also the Midwest, the Gulf Coast, and also the East Coast. So we have 18 churches that are going to get behind our multi-regional church plant in Jacksonville, Florida. Come on, does that excite you? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And that's what Paul is talking about right here. He's talking about partnership in the gospel. And we find him thanking the church in Philippi for being his partners in preaching the gospel. And when I think about that word, it's more than just a friend. It's more than just us coming together and saying we're going to do something. But the word, when you look at that word, it means someone who shares and contributes to the need. Partnership. A people who share and contribute to the need. And I can think of a lot of needs that are needed when you plant a church. Those of you that are pastoring, those of you that are involved in ministry, you know as well as I do, there's a lot of needs. There's you know, just when you think you've got it, something else. There's something else. And a partner is someone who shares the need, who contributes to the need. As a matter of fact, it comes from the same Greek word where they get the word to describe the altar where the sacrifice was brought and slaughtered. The same word that talks about and describes the altar of sacrifice is the same word, root word, that defines a true partner in the gospel. And the meaning is to partner in the service and the sacrifice to preaching the gospel. And we know Paul the Apostle, he didn't have a problem doing that. And we find him in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, towards the end of his life, we find him saying this. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." And that's how we all should be thinking today. We're all vessels. The Bible says in a great house, there's many vessels, some for honor and some for dishonor. And he says if we cleanse ourselves from the latter, dishonor will be a vessel of honor, ready and useful for the master. Wave your hand at me if you say, "I want to be ready and useful." Come on, wave your hand. Tell somebody next to you, "I want to be ready and useful." That's a partner in the gospel. And actually what Paul is saying this, he's saying, I live my life as a living sacrifice dedicated to reaching hurting people and building ministry bases throughout the Gentile nations. Because if you study Paul's life, that was his life's mission, to go into the Gentile culture, to go into the Gentile nations, and to go in there and preach the gospel in the marketplace, in the synagogues, and the temples, and wherever people were, and to establish a work there in those cities, and then move on to the next city. Come on, somebody. And when you think about that, isn't that our mission? To reach the hurting people of the world with the message of hope and the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And the way we accomplish that is by planting churches, rehabilitation homes, and training centers in strategic cities of the world. It's nothing new that we're doing. It's gospel. Tell your neighbor, it's gospel. Paul didn't do it by himself. And we're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. Your pastor can't do it by himself. Your life group leader can't do it by himself. Your youth leader can't do it by himself. Our region can't do it by ourselves. Paul didn't do it by himself. He had Barnabas. He had Timothy. He had Titus. He had John Mark. He had the Philippians and many other churches that we read in the New Testament as partners, people who came alongside of him, and they served and they sacrificed for the purpose of advancing the cause of Jesus Christ. And that's why we gather here this weekend. We gathered here last night with the gang. We gather here today. I know it's singles and married couples and workshops, but how many know the purpose of us coming together is, yes, to get our hearts touched by God, to learn how to be a better man or woman of God, serving the Lord as a single, to be a better man or wife, serving the Lord alongside each other as a couple, but also to get envisioned that as singles and couples, we can make a difference in our cities, in our region, and in the world. Come on, somebody shout amen. And that's why we need partners. That's why partnership is so important. That's why we have to come together as a region. We have to come together as a multi-region. And we have to focus and lock our arms together as one and advance the cause of Christ together. Now, as you read your Bible in the book of Acts, you find it was a common practice in the early church to partner together in a common vision to reach the lost. That's what the early church did. They came together. Can I hear you say amen? Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. He says, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. That's who we are today. We're partners. We're messengers here today. And not only did they share a common vision, but they also shared in the duty of spreading the gospel to the lost. So I want to encourage you here today, first and foremost, to start praying as a region. Let's start praying for Jacksonville, Florida. Amen. As a region. Come on, somebody. Let's start speaking about this church plant in our churches, in our rehab homes, and in our youth ministry, in our youth services, and in all of our life groups. Let's start speaking together and bombarding the throne of heaven and tearing down walls that are been put up in that city for years. And let's start now together. Amen. The Philippian church, they were that type of church. They were that type of people who rallied alongside the Apostle Paul in the early days of his ministry. And I find that there's three key elements of partnership this morning. Write this down. Number one, we have to share a common vision. We all have the vision. We know the vision that God gave to our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. We know the vision. We've been taught the vision. We've been preached to the vision. We go to conferences and retreats and seminars, and we all know what the vision of Victory Outreach is. We have a common vision. Every church here today should be preaching that common vision. Every pastor, every leader should be sharing that common vision. That's a key element this morning, is that we all understand our mission, the Victory Outreach International mission. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. But not only do we share a common vision, we have to share a heart for the lost. We have to begin to develop a sense of urgency inside of our lives and inside of our churches that we need to take advantage of the time that we have to share the gospel to hurting people. We live in a day and an age, a time where there's a lot of madness, there's a lot of violence in our cities and in our countries and around the world. And there's lost people that are going into eternity without ever hearing that God can change their life. So we need to share that same heart that God has, that your pastor has, that our founder has for the lost. But also the third key element of partnership is sharing the responsibility. Come on, somebody. The responsibility just can't be on the pastor, on the leader. The responsibility can't be on our founder. Come on, somebody. The vision is so great. The vision is so big. It's international. And every Victory Outreach member, every Victory Outreach family, come on, somebody, every church, every region has to share the responsibility. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. We have to come together as one. Right? We have to put apart whatever differences culturally, economically, as city goes from city. We have to put about our differences and lock into what God is going to do through our multi-region. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say this, there's power in partnership. When we partner together in the building of churches and the spreading of the gospel, when we come together, we're going to be able to accomplish great things for God's glory and God's honor. This is the first time that we've done it as a region, as a multi-region. This is the very first time that we're going to step out and we're going to send out a church, and there's going to be a lot of pastors behind that one work. Right? This is the first time we're doing this, and I believe that it's going to be something powerful. I believe that something great is going to take place, that there's going to be a chain reaction as to what's going to take place after we plant this first church as a multi-region. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. But it's important that we understand today that everybody here understands today that they play a role in the sending of the church to Jacksonville, Florida. Let me give you some examples of partnership real quick. I'm not going to be long. I know we have workshops still and everything, but I needed to give this to you this morning. Can I hear you say amen? Genesis 11, verse 6. Let me just read it to you. It says like this. If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing will be impossible for them. As one people. You know what that tells me? It tells me partnership will enable us to overcome any obstacle that we're going to face when we come together. The Bible says two things. It says that they were one people. How many know we're one people? We're not Mexican. We're not Puerto Rican. We're not African American. We're not Caucasian. We're Victory Outreach people. Come on, somebody. We're Victory Outreach family. We're not from Wisconsin, we're not from Illinois, we're not from Ohio, we're not from Minnesota. We're Victory Outreach International people. They were one people. And then the Bible says that they spoke the same language. What was that language? Was it Spanish? Was it English? Huh? Was it ghetto? Was it urban? Come on, somebody. Was it slang? No, what was the language that they spoke? What is it? I had to ask myself, what is our language? Let me tell you what our language is. Our language is faith. If God called us, God will supply for us. Our language is faith, that we believe that God has called us to plant churches. How many believe that? We believe that God has called us to launch out couples. We believe that God has called us to disciple and raise up leaders, not to stay, but to go. Somebody say go. So it's going to take faith. That's our language. We got to speak faith. And also our language is commitment. We're not going to do this with uncommitted people. We got to speak the language of commitment. That I'm willing to leave everything. We need people from every church that are going to be willing to leave everything and go. Commitment. Commitment. What is the language of our church? Loyalty. We need loyal men and women. You know how you know you're loyal? Is when you have an opportunity not to be loyal and you don't take it. Your loyalty is going to be tested. My loyalty is going to be tested. But when the opportunity comes for you to come against your pastor, to come against your leader, to come against the vision, to not labor and lay yourself at the altar of sacrifice like everybody else, you don't take it. You're loyal because that's our language. What is the language of our church? It's sacrifice. It's going to take a sacrificial group of people to advance what we're going to do. Because we're not just going to Jacksonville. That's just the beginning. Come on, somebody. We're not just going to one city. But we're believing God that every year we have a pattern, we have a model that could work in different cities around the country and around the world. Can I hear you say amen? What is our language? It's generosity. How many know it's going to take givers? You ever notice how when you start talking about money, it gets quiet? No, my friend, that's when it should get the loudest. And I'm not talking with change. I'm talking with amens, and I will, and let's do it. Here, I'm all in. What is the language of our church? It's servanthood. We need servants. It's not about who we could be or who gets the pulpit or, you know, it's not about that. It's Jesus Christ being glorified through our ministry. It's lost people being won for God's honor and God's glory. So when we speak the same language, and pastors, we have to speak that language to our people. We have to speak it: faith, commitment, sacrifice, loyalty, generosity, servanthood. We have to speak that language. And when we do that, when we all speak the same language, it has a powerful effect inside of our local churches and also in our region. I believe when we begin to speak like that, we move into the with God is nothing is impossible realm. How many want to get to that place? Where with God nothing is. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? That with man, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Come on, whatever obstacle you're facing, when you get around a group of people that are speaking the same language, that are united in their language of commitment, sacrifice, loyalty, dedication, servanthood, you begin to start thinking, I can do all things. That's when we move into the with God, nothing is impossible realm. I want to get to that place. I want to get to that place where I can start telling my mountain, get out of my way. Because how many of you got mountains? Come on, somebody. You got personal mountains. You got health mountains. You got family mountains. You got financial mountains. But how many know with God, that mountain's got to move? Come on, tell that mountain, get out of my way. When we speak the language, when we're all speaking it, mountains are moving. I believe mountains are moving right now in Jacksonville, Florida. Another example of partnership is found in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 4, verse 6, it says, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Somebody say a mind to work. Some translations say the people worked with all their heart. With all their heart. What does that mean? It means they had an attitude of dedication. They had an attitude that they were dedicated to the work that God had called them to do. And we need to all understand that this work that we're doing, God has called all of us to do it. Can I hear you say amen? They had an attitude of dedication. They had an attitude of teamwork where they could put down differences. We got to learn how to put down our differences. Come on, somebody. And have an attitude of teamwork. It's an attitude of perseverance. I mean, no, we got to persevere. It's hard work. Ministry is hard work. Can I hear you say amen? It takes a lot of work to build a ministry. You're constantly under the attack of the enemy. You're constantly dealing with problems. Come on, somebody. Right? Especially a ministry like ours. I tell the story about one time I was listening to Christian radio, and the guy on the radio said something that got my attention, and he said, if you're pastoring a church in the inner city, I said, wow, I'm pastoring a church in the inner city. He says, if your church is multicultural, I said, wow, we got black people, white people, brown people, we even got one Asian. Multicultural, right? Different backgrounds, different people. Then he said, if a lot of your people come in and they're addicted to drugs and they're coming out of poverty, and I said, wow, man, that's me. I thought I was going to get some deep revelation. Then he said this, then you have a high-maintenance ministry. Come on. We're high-maintenance people. But I'll tell you this, once we get it, there's no stopping us. But if you're a pastor, you're a leader, you're a home director, you work with the youth, it's going to take hard work. You got to persevere. You got to work as a team. You got to be dedicated. I like the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says, every day, somebody say every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. But here's the key. The Bible says every day they continued to meet together. Every day they continued. Every day they worked at being in agreement. Every day they worked at being dedicated. Every day they worked at being a team. Every day they worked at persevering. It was a united effort. Come on, somebody. And they moved together as a whole with each person, with each church, with each leader doing their part. And that's what we're going to ask you to do as we move forward with this church plant. We're going to ask everybody here to do their part. Some are going to be sending. Some are going to be going. Some are going to be financing. Come on, somebody. Some are going to be interceding. Some are going to be going in and be doing specialty work. Come on, somebody. But we're going to ask everybody here. It doesn't matter if you just got saved. Come on, so that's the beautiful part of our ministry. You might have just got saved. They threw you in the car and brought you here. But my friend, you're going to be involved. To the person who's been here since the beginning, we're going to partner together. And I believe there's some good reasons why we should partner together and build ministries, not just our local ministry. Come on, somebody. I mean, no, we're good at focusing local at our churches. But we have to now begin to look beyond our churches. Can I hear you say amen? And we have to look regionally, we have to look in our multi-region, we have to begin to look internationally. And I can think of some good reasons why we should. And one of them is, number one, we have a divine command from God. God tells us to go and preach the gospel. This is a general commission to every Christian, every man and every woman. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations. Amen? We got to be committed to the preaching of the gospel. That's a good reason, right? Is that it's the Great Commission. It's something that we've all been commanded to do. We're not being asked to do it. We're not being told, well, if you're okay, if you want to do it. No, we're being commanded Each and every one of us, we're being commanded to go. Second reason I could think of is not only do we have a command, we have a divine promise from God. If you're a Victory Outreach member, if you're in Victory Outreach, we have a promise that God gave us in Isaiah 45:2-3. And God says, I will go before you. Come on, somebody. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures out of darkness, the hidden riches in secret places. But you notice, he says, I'll go before you. That means there has to be some going. There has to be some sending. There has to be some supporting. In order to see this promise come, you ever think like, why isn't the promise of God coming to pass in my life? Well, sometimes the promise has conditions in it. And our promise tells us that we got to go, that we got to send. Three times God tells us what he'll do for us if we obey him. He says, I'll go before you, make crooked places straight. That's a promise of his presence. I want everybody to know that's going to be a part of the Jacksonville multi-regional church plan, that God's presence is going to go with you. Come on, somebody. God's presence is going to go with you. That's a promise of his presence. He says, I'll break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. It's a promise of his anointing. Not only is his presence going to go with us, but the anointing of God is going with us. Can I hear you say amen? And then he says, I'll give you the treasures out of darkness, hidden riches in secret places is a promise of his provision. Come on, somebody. So we have his presence, we have his power, and we have his provision. How many of you want to experience that in your life? God's presence, God's power, and God's provision. The only way it comes is when we go. The only way it comes is when we sin. Can I hear you say amen? We have that. And he's given it to us so we can reach the lost and the hurting people of this world. Amen? So we have a divine command. We have a divine promise. We also have a divine target. We have a target. There's Victory Outreach people right now in Jacksonville, Florida, waiting for us. They're waiting for someone to walk up to them and hand them a flyer. They're waiting to go into the men's home and the women's home. There's young people, Pastor Doug, that are waiting for the gang to be established down there. Come on, there's musicians. Watch this. There's musicians that don't even know they can play, that are waiting for a worship team to come so they can begin to unwrap their gift. Because many of our musicians didn't know how to play until they started unwrapping their gift in the local church. Right? So we have a target. We're going to send people where the need is, where hurting people are. Can I hear you say amen? You think of Jacksonville, Florida, and you look at pictures, there's, Jacksonville Beach, and you think of all these other places, but my friend, there's a ghetto there. There's a ghetto there. There's drug addicts there. There's crack addicts there. There's hustlers there. I'm telling you, there's some conniving people down there. Right? And if we're going to reach them, then we have to go to the places where there's violence, where there's perversion, where there's corruption. We have to go to places where there's strongholds. That's our target, where people need to be broken. Their lives need to be broken from the yoke of bondage by the power of God. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need our prayer ministry behind us. We need the women's ministry behind us. We need the men's Mighty Men of Valor behind us. It's going to take a corporate effort to build a ministry that's going to reach into darkness and bring out treasures. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why it's a multi-regional church plant. You look at Jesus' ministry. He sent his men out in teams, two by two. He had the inner circle. He had the 12. He had the 70. Come on, somebody. You look at Paul, it was Paul and Barnabas, Paul and John. You look at Peter, it's Peter and John, Peter, James, and John. It was always a corporate move of God. Amen. And we have a target. We have a divine target, and it's going to take all of us coming together to be effective. We have to work together in a partnership. Can I hear you say, are you with me today? Amen. Come on, if you're with me, shout amen. Amen. We have that. We have a command. We have a promise. We have a target. We also have a divine destiny. Isn't it great what we have today, knowing who we are in Christ today? Come on, somebody. Isn't it great knowing where you came from? Can you remember, some of you remember where you came from? You remember cooking your dope? Come on, some of you. You remember pounding somebody else's cotton? You remember picking up rocks off the ground thinking it was crack? Come on, you remember out there on the street corner holding up a corner that didn't even belong to you, belonged to the city? Come on, some of you are out on the street hustling, doing stuff you never. Can you remember what God did for you, the miracle? The miracle that God did. And God brought us into Victory Outreach. And now we're a people of dignity, destiny, and belonging. See, we have a divine destiny also. And there's more treasures out of darkness. There's more people around the world that need Victory Outreach. Not just Jacksonville. There's a new church plant taking place in Amsterdam, Holland. Victory Outreach International Church of Amsterdam, Holland. There's a brand new church, brand new Spanish church that's coming to Chicago. Come on, somebody. This is what we do. And if you look at those church plants, it's a multi-regional effort. That's the strategy that God has given to us. And we have to lock into that. Can I hear you say amen? I want the musicians to come real quick. I want you to stand with me too. Stand with me this morning. Stand with me this morning. But I want us to lock into that this morning. I want us to lock into that this morning. And just by the uplifting of your hand this morning, you say, I want a partner. Come on, lift up your hand. I want a partner, Pastor Nick. I want a partner, Pastor Charlie. I want a partner, Pastor Will. I want a partner, Pastor Robert. I want a partner, Pastor Ray. I want a partner, Pastor Doug. I want a partner with you, Pastor Jamie. Pastor Manny, I want a partner with you. Come on, I want a partner. Hallelujah. Pastor Joy, I want